This podcast is supported by Emerson. From technology that delivers cures at warp speed to software that makes clean energy reliable, Emerson Innovation helps make the world healthier, safer, smarter, and more sustainable. Emerson, go boldly.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing for Thursday, May 4th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Israel has been nicknamed Startup Nation thanks to its reputation as one of the world's most vibrant hubs for tech startups. And the global pullback in tech investing is being felt by Israel's young companies too. But founders there say the pressure they're facing has another factor as well, the country's political climate. Our reporter in Tel Aviv, Dov Lieber, joins us later in the show to explain the situation tech founders say they find themselves in. That's after these headlines. We exclusively report that TikTok is launching a new ad product for publishers. It will allow them to sell ads alongside their posts and collect half the revenue from them. Its release comes as publishers have been struggling to gain advertising revenue and as they've been dealing with industry-wide cost-cutting and layoffs. For TikTok, the launch marks a shift. It's historically focused on independent creators. This change could also help the popular social media app build new relationships with publishers and advertisers. The Federal Trade Commission has proposed barring Facebook owner Meta from earning money on data it collects on users under 18. The proposal comes after an agency investigation concluded Meta repeatedly violated its privacy promises. Our reporter John McKinnon says this could be a big problem for the company.
Meta basically makes a lot of its money from advertising, and that includes advertising to kids who are, you know, teenagers. And this action, if it holds up, would complicate that a lot for Meta and all of its products. So it would basically take away a big potential revenue source for them.
As part of the FTC's proposal, Meta would also be subject to other new limitations, including its use of facial recognition, and it would be required to provide additional protections for users. The FTC said it asked Meta to respond to its proposed findings within 30 days. A Meta spokesperson called the FTC action a political stunt. And this week, The Wall Street Journal has been hosting its annual Future of Everything Festival in New York. The event looks at bold ideas, investments, and moonshots that are shaping the future. One highlight is The Lab, where attendees can actually get hands-on with some of the cutting-edge tech of tomorrow. Our producer, Zoe Colkin, paid The Lab a visit to test out some of these new products.
Okay, I am in the changing room trying on the OWO. It's basically looks like almost like a wetsuit shirt, and it has these sticky pads on the inside that connect to my skin. All of the wires are inside the fabric, and you can feel it. So it is kind of like a chunky jacket. So I'm putting it on now. Okay, it's on.
Perfect. I'll just check. The electrodes are in contact with your skin. This is the object, let's say, that sends the sensations to the app, which is on the phone.
Okay, and what am I going to feel?
You're going to play a short demo, and in that demo, you're just going to have an idea of some of the sensations we transmit. You're going to be shot, you're going to be healed.
Oh, God, is it going to hurt?
Receivable. No, you are going to set the intensity, so it'll go from lower to higher, and you choose how high you want to go.
Okay, I'm feeling a bullet go in my chest, out my back, and I will feel bleeding on both sides. Okay, I'm feeling them both at the same time. It's like...
It's very fast.
Okay.
It's not at the same time, but it's as if a person with a rifle was...
So this would be used for, like, shootout video games. Okay.
Or military training.
So this, what I'm looking at here is a plant-based honey, and they have it in like the classic little bear containers. It looks just like real honey.
It tastes just like real honey.
Can I try it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah.
It smells like real honey. It does taste like real honey. It really does. So how is this made?
We kind of simulate the process that would happen with the bees through plant science. So we take all of the nectars and mix the ingredients together in this lab-based approach and process. So we purchase the nectar from non-flowering plants. The whole approach behind the product is to save pollinator biodiversity. So we are not trying to eliminate bees in our ecosystem or anything like that. We're really trying to actually create space. Native pollinators are actually responsible for pollinating native plants, which are involved in carbon sequestration. So the whole point is to promote a healthier ecosystem, a healthier planet for us and the bees.
So what is this?
Welcome to Wilson's area. This is our 3D airless prototype. Basketball doesn't need to be inflated, bounces like a regular basketball, has all the same specifications of our NBA game ball, but is just airless. So
cool. Yeah, so basically what I'm looking at here is like, it looks like a basketball. It's black, but it just has a bunch of like holes in it. So it looks hollow.
Yeah, that's our lattice structure. And Jared, if you want to go into a little bit more about how, you know, it's made.
So the lattice structure was to develop the proprietary material that allows us that elasticity that we need to actually allow it to bounce.
So this is 3D printed?
Yes,
it is 3D printed.
How does this make basketball easier, better?
So the main goal of this project was to get rid of the air completely. So allowing us to like ditch the needle.
Got it. Okay, so this will never deflate.
Exactly, never.
Yeah.
Got it. Can you try it out a little bit?
Yeah, you can try it out too if you want.
Okay, cool.
That was our producer, Zoe Colkin, trying out some tech for the future. Okay, coming up, Israeli tech founders say some investors are pressuring them to leave the country known as Startup Nation. What's behind the push? We'll explain when we come back.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. Knowing how to turn unpredictability into an advantage is where ADP comes in. ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions and help businesses of all sizes work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. ADP. Always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
Israel has for years been one of the world's most vibrant hubs for tech startups, but a combination of global economic trends and investors' concerns over a proposed judicial overhaul in the country are making it hard for these young companies to raise money. In fact, in the first quarter of this year, the sector saw a 70% drop in fundraising compared with the same time last year, according to IVC Research Center. With me to discuss the situation is our reporter in Tel Aviv, Dov Lieber. Dov, internationally, we've seen a pullback in investing, but how different is it for the tech sector in Israel?
Well, we've seen the same pressure or macroeconomic pressure making challenges for fundraising for Israeli startups here in Israel, like they're experiencing around the world. Now, most of that decline is being attributed to the general macroeconomic environment globally, with investors pulling back due to high interest rates. We do know that Israel underperformed the global average and other tech hubs for raising money. That were, and those tech hubs were also experiencing a downturn, but Israel's downturn was a little stronger. And therefore, that suggests basically that there's also the political instability is playing a role here. And when you speak to entrepreneurs here in Israel, they will tell you their own personal experiences about dealing with investors. And some investors telling them to their face that one of the reasons that they're pulling back their investment or they're holding off for now is because of Israel's own political instability that is connected to the judicial overhaul.
Dov, can you just remind us about that judicial overhaul? What's going on and how is it specifically affecting the tech sector?
So back in January, a brand new Israeli government said that it was going to overhaul the country's judiciary, basically in a move that would weaken the Supreme Court, weaken other justice ministry officials, and give more power to lawmakers. That proposal launched one of the biggest protest movements in the country's history. Over 100,000, sometimes well over 100,000 people protest every week. A large sector of the protests included Israel's high-tech community, okay, which is something we hadn't yet seen before in Israel, the tech community getting very involved in politics because many of them, or the vast majority of them, believe that this judicial overhaul is very bad for business. They say that it is scaring away their investors because what happens is, the fear is that this judicial overhaul could hand too much power, essentially, to the government. And when that happens, it basically facilitates corruption, which is bad for business.
Historically, how important has Israel's tech sector been to the country's economy?
Israel's tech sector is the beating heart of the country's economy. It makes up about 16% of the GDP. It's over 50% of exports for the country. And it makes up a huge part of tax revenue for the country, Israel, especially for the city of Tel Aviv. So the success or the lack of success for Israel's tech sector plays a huge role in the country's economy itself.
You've been speaking to some startup founders. What are they saying they're going to do if this situation persists?
There are a lot of founders who say that even though they don't want to leave Israel, that they may end up having to leave Israel if the current situation of this kind of political uncertainty continues. Many have already decided to incorporate new companies in the United States rather than Israel. That allows them a kind of getaway card if they need to. If things deteriorate so much in the country, if there are capital controls or other political issues caused by the instability, well, they can easily move their company or grow their company in the United States if it's already incorporated there.
I'm curious how people outside the tech sector feel about the prospect that this industry might pull back or even up and leave Israel, given how important it is to the overall economy of Israel.
Firstly, for sure, it is a major concern for the government, which is a fairly right-wing government, while the tech industry is more associated with the center-left. But at the same time, again, the fact that it's a beating heart of the economy, the government knows it can't allow Israeli technology companies to leave the country. At the same time, the Israeli technology industry has kind of created a massive wealth gap in the country as well. So people who are connected to the technology industry can make a decent living, but those who aren't connected to the technology industry are basically living in another world. The country itself is quite proud of the technology industry. It's a source of pride for many Israelis. It's a source of pride for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who credits himself for changing Israel's economy in such a way that produced or facilitated the growth of this technology industry. You will find people who support Israel around the world constantly talking about the miracle of Israeli technology. So it is part and parcel of the Israeli identity, this tech nation, if you will. So that would be a huge blow, really, to the identity of the country, not just the economy of the country.
All right, that's our reporter, Dov Lieber. Thanks for joining us. And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.